So I want to talk about trust this morning. I've shared some of these thoughts before, but it's one of those things that we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of, reminding ourselves of our faith in God and who he is. And so I want to start off with this question. How many of you in this room would say that you have at least one person that you would trust with your life? Okay, so most everyone. How many of you would say you have five people that you trust with your life? How many of you would say that you have 20 people that you trust with your life? Starting to get a little bit less. How many say you have 50 people? All right, so about 20 is the limit. I want to show you how you've trusted with someone with your life just this morning. Someone that, and I'm not talking about God yet. How you've trusted someone with your life this morning, and it might not even be someone you really know that much. Let me give you some examples. So if you drove to church, you trusted your mechanic with your life. Because as you're flying down the interstate at 80 miles an hour, trying to get to church on time, and you were still 10 minutes late, you trusted that your mechanic put your brakes together in a way that you can actually stop. So whether you realize it or not, you trusted your mechanic with your life if you drove to church this morning. If you drank water this morning, you trusted that the water treatment experts or the bottling company or the filtration company, whatever you use, you trusted that they got rid of any deadly bacteria or viruses in the water and that it's gonna be okay for you. If you took prescription medication this morning, you trusted that your doctor or your pharmacist knew what they were doing and that they gave you a proper dosage so that you're not gonna overdose. And then if you're sitting under one of these big lights this morning, don't start to get paranoid now, but you're trusting the structural engineer that mounted them and you're trusting that they're gonna stay put and not fall on your head. On a side note, the maintenance team did mention that there are a couple of the mounting screws missing on one of the lights. I won't tell you which one it is. I'm just kidding, there's really not. But we trust people in different ways all the time. And whether we realize it or not, we're trusting people. And we kind of have to, right? Like, can you imagine in some of these scenarios or circumstances I just mentioned, if we didn't actually trust our mechanic, our doctor, we could never sit under a light, we couldn't walk into, like, we're just always thinking about that. We'd have like no peace in our life. It just becomes so overwhelming. But here's the kicker, is that we intuitively trust these people or these processes, even though they don't have a perfect track record. You ever had a mechanic make a mistake? Has a doctor ever made a mistake? Has an engineer ever made a mistake? Right, we know that mistakes are made, but we still kind of intuitively trust them. So the question then is, if we can trust people, subconsciously sometimes who don't have this perfect track record, why is it so hard to trust God with our lives? Why is it such a struggle sometimes, especially when our theology tells us things like he's all powerful? Meaning that no situation or circumstance is out of his control. There's no freak accident or emergency that catches him by surprise, even though we might be surprised by it. Our theology tells us he's all powerful, but also that he's all knowing. Have you ever worried about your future? God knows your future. He knows everything that's gonna happen in your life. Not only that, but he knows you. He knows you better than you even know yourself. He knows your heart, your thoughts, your insecurities, your shortcomings, your biggest fears and your greatest joys. He's aware and familiar with the deepest pains and the hurts of your life. He knows it all. But not only is he all powerful, not only is he all knowing, but he's good. Our theology tells us he's good. The Bible says that his thoughts towards you are good, promises to be ever present with you. He's not gonna leave you or forsake you. Gives you something to live for, gives you a purpose in life. Wants to be there to help guide some of your decisions and the direction of your life. wants a personal relationship with you, and even loved you so much that he died for your salvation and your forgiveness. But despite what we know about God or what we say we know about God, we've all been in that place. Maybe you're in it today. Maybe it's a daily struggle where it can be hard to trust God. You might say, I still get anxious about situations that are outside of my control when I should trust that he is in control. I still feel condemned at times when I should be able to trust in his forgiveness and in the fact that he loves me. I still feel worried about my future when I should trust that he knows the future and that my future is in his hands. You might say, I'm afraid that God's timetable for my healing and my deliverance and my freedom is way too slow, when I should trust that God's timing is sovereign. It can be hard to trust sometimes. My personal area of trust that I've had to really grow in my trust of God has to do with my loved ones. So last time I spoke, I talked about as a kid growing up, I had this fear that my dad was gonna die. And there wasn't anything specifically why I should believe that. I just was, the thought of what if my dad dies? How do I go on in life after that happens was overwhelming to me. And it ended up leading me into this 3-month depression where I fell into a depression that was rooted in this fear. When I became a young adult, I remember being here at the Bible school at Summit, and I was in my dorm room. And I remember it just kind of clicked with me when I was praying one time. I was praying for my parents' safety. So I'm here at Bible school. My parents are in Haiti. They're doing missions work in Haiti. And as I'm praying for their protection, this thought hit me. Even though I'm praying for their protection, there's no guarantee that something won't happen to them. And it kind of scared me because I was like, I don't want to just pray for protection. I want a guarantee from God that nothing's going to happen. But there isn't that guarantee. I just have to trust God with their safety. I just had to trust God that if something did happen, he's going to get me through it. I'm going to have the grace and mercy I need to keep going forward. Nothing's guaranteed. And even now, like thankfully, I've been able to grow in my trust in that area. But even now, sometimes when I'm in moments of deep appreciation or love for my wife or my son, it's just those moments where it hits you, like how much you love this individual. It's usually accompanied by this thought of, what if something happened? What would I do without them? And if I'm not careful, it can easily become this fear that is controlling in my life. Now, I like to be prepared. I'm gonna be as prepared as possible, but I can't control the outcomes of life. And so there has to be this place of trust in my heart. And for me, it's always been trusting God with my loved ones. I know what I want to happen in their life, but it doesn't always work out that way. So walking in trust in these things. So how can we get from a place of saying we trust in God, or from trusting God being just a theological point, to actually living in trust? How can we live in trust? Has someone ever told you, you just need to trust God more? Right? You just gotta trust God more. And maybe that's true, but it's not always helpful, right? You're in your situation, you just have to trust God more. Oh, okay, thank you. How do I do that? Well, you just trust him more. I'll do that, but how do I do that? You just gotta trust him, right? It doesn't always work that way. It's true, but it's unhelpful. And it's unhelpful because we can't just will ourselves into trust. And think about our regular relationships with family or with friends. We don't just will ourselves into trust with them, right? We don't go, I just need to trust God, and we're just willing ourselves into trust. We can't do that, but we can position ourselves to grow in trust. We might not be able to will ourselves into trust, but we can position ourselves to grow in it. And that positioning is what I want to talk about this morning. And why? When we talk about trust in God, why is it important? Because I'm telling you, there's a release of peace in our lives when our trust in God allows our life anthem to be, it is well with my soul. With whatever we go through in life, when our life anthem can be, it is well with my soul. That's a trust that I want to live in. every day of my life. And the thing is, we can get there. We can grow in our trust in God. So scripture gives us many things that point to growing in our trust. I just wanna point four of them out. So 4 points to kind of help us practically this morning and how I can grow in my trust in God. So position number one, how can I position myself to grow in trust? Number one is this, if you're taking notes, really simple, get to know him. Get to know him. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. To know God, to really know God is to trust God. To know God is to trust God. And notice I didn't say to know about God is to trust God. We can know a lot about it, a lot of things. We can know a lot about God without actually really trusting him. No, when I talk about knowing God and what this psalm is speaking about is to be familiar with something through experience. In other words, it's not just a head knowledge, it's a relationship knowing. And when I know God like that, I begin to trust him. In other words, our level of trust is determined by our level of relationship. Our level of trust is determined by our level of relationship. I remember hearing this story of a pastor who challenged his congregation to quote Psalm 23 from memory. You know Psalm 23, one of the greatest psalms in the book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Has so much good stuff in that psalm. And so he challenged his congregation to see who could do it from memory. And a little 12-year-old boy came up and he took the microphone and he started quoting Psalm 23 from memory. And he did it word for word perfectly. And people are pulling out their phones, people are smiling, and when he gets done, there's this big round of applause for this child who memorized Psalm 23. And after he got down, an old woman got up. Old in her 80s, she got up and she started to recite Psalm 23. But this time, it was different. When she was reciting Psalm 23, there was this hush that kind of came over the congregation. Because she started saying Psalm 23 with such conviction. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She talked about the valley of the shadow of death. You could sense it wasn't just a memory verse, it was something she'd experienced, that God had walked with her through the valleys in her life. When she talked about the making a table in the presence of her enemies, it's something that she had lived. And by the time she gets done quoting Psalm 23, everyone in the room has tears in their eyes. And it was the same words, it was the same things that the 12-year-old boy had quoted, but here was the difference. The boy knew Psalm 23. The woman knew the shepherd in Psalm 23. You see, that's the difference between knowing about God and having a relationship with God. It changes things. If God is who he says he is, if God is who he says he is, and I start to get to know him for who he actually is, I'm naturally gonna start trusting him. I'm naturally gonna be trusting of this God. That means this, and this is encouraging. That means my striving point is not, God, help me trust you more. My striving point is just getting to know him. And my trust is growing as a result. That means being involved in a church community, his body. It means spending time in prayer, spending time reading the words. When we talk about these things, it's because it's a way of building our faith, building our trust in God. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I've been doing those things and I haven't really noticed any difference. Even like the song we sang, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Relationship building takes time. Just like it does in all of our relationships, it takes time. But just getting to know God, our trust can begin to build. So get to know him. Secondly, how can I position myself to grow in trust in God? Number two is acknowledge him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So this is really similar to the first point that I made, but I want to bring it out on a slightly different way, because to acknowledge him, it means to know, but it also contains this idea of being aware of. To acknowledge God is also being aware of God in my life. Two things to note about this. Listen, our relationship with God, it's much deeper than our planned moments spent with him. You know what I mean by that? Our relationship building doesn't get put on pause once I leave the sanctuary after a church service. My relationship building doesn't get put on pause once I walk out of my prayer closet. It doesn't get put on pause once I stop reading my Bible. No, we're constantly acknowledging God in all of our ways and all the events of our life. As we go throughout our day, we're constantly aware of God in our interactions and in our experiences. So our relationship with him, it's much deeper than the planned moments that we spent with him. But secondly, it's also this, our relationship with God, it's much deeper than our crisis moments. Here's how the verse would read according to how some of us have lived or maybe live. It would say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In your times of crisis, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's sometimes how we live. It's in our crisis moments we begin to run to God. You notice that, how in our crisis moments, it just creates this awareness, this deep awareness of our need for him. It's like, man, I need God in this moment of crisis. And it's not that your need or my need for God fluctuates. It's just that our crisis makes aware what has been there all along. We need God. So part of living in trust is just constantly being aware of him in your life. When the Bible talks about pray without ceasing, we can be praying, we can be aware of God as we go about our daily activities, but being aware of him, not just in planned moments, not just in moments of crisis, but throughout the day. An awareness of God reminds me of his sovereignty in my life. That's what it does. I can know God and have a relationship with him and my trust is built, but an awareness or acknowledging him reminds me of his sovereignty in my life. Nothing catches him by surprise. Number three, how can I position myself to grow in trust? Is this, recognize your limitations. Recognize your limitations. Recognize my limitations. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is the second half of this. It says, don't lean on your own understanding. How many of you would say, like, I lean pretty heavy on my own understanding in many areas of my life, right? If you think like I do, you know the battle of always trying to reason things out, to make sense of things. Like, I love solving puzzles. I love like Sudoku and my favorite, like the mind teasers. I forget what it's called, but there was this old game of cards with just these mind teasers, constant mind teasers. And me and my brothers memorized them all, just trying to, like, these scenarios, trying to reason it out and figure it out and have logic, right? And there's nothing wrong with reason or logic, but here's the danger of it. It's when we begin to lean on our own understanding, when sometimes we trust God, but only in the things that make sense to us, right? That's what it means, our own understanding. I trust God, but only in the things that I can personally make sense of. So if I can come up with a logical reason as to why God allowed this to happen in my life, it's a little bit easier to trust God. Okay, God, I kind of see, you know, why you allowed that. I can trust you now. If I can envision the good that will come from it, then I can trust God. God, this was hard, but I see the good that's been brought out of it, so I trust you. Or maybe it's, if I can understand why God is leading me in this direction, then I can trust him. God, this journey's not always easy, but I kind of see where you're taking me, so I trust you. But what about those moments where nothing makes sense? Can we trust God when our own understanding doesn't reinforce it? As soon as the sentence ends with a question mark rather than a period, we're unsettled or we're unsure. I don't know if I can trust in this. The problem is that, and you probably know this, but life is filled with more questions than it is answers. You find an answer to something and then more questions rise up. Right? There's an endless amount of questions. But maybe God isn't looking to be explained away in your circumstances. Maybe he's not waiting for you to figure things out and to make sense of it. Maybe he just wants to be invited into that process. In other words, I don't have to figure it out, but I can invite him in. I can invite him into my pain. I can invite him into my discouragement. I can invite him into my depression and my heartache. I can invite him in to the question mark, whether it makes sense or not. Part of recognizing your limitations is realizing that your limitations are not God's limitations. Your limitations are not God's limitations. You might say, I'm not seeing good come out of this situation. Things don't seem to be making sense. Things don't seem to be getting better. I don't know why this is happening, but I recognize that in my limitations, God's not limited. I can't and don't have to figure something out, but I can invite God into that process. Not leaning on your own understanding. And then fourthly is this, how can I position myself to grow in my trust in God? Is give him control. This one's a hard one, right? Psalm 20, verse 7, David writes, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. This is war terminology. Chariots and the horses, they're the elite weapons of the day. That was like the atomic bomb of back then. They were the dominating force in warfare. And David is, he's not saying that horses and chariots were bad necessarily, because he used them. What he's saying is ultimately my trust is not to be placed in good, it's supposed to be placed in God. Just because it's a good thing, that doesn't mean that's where all my trust goes. No, it needs to be God. But it's easier to trust in chariots and horses. Why? Because we can control them. If I know I can control something, there's this sense of ease, right? How many of you feel that when you're the one that's driving the vehicle? If me and my wife go anywhere, unless it's like a 19-hour trip and we have to kind of tag on and off, I'll always be the one driving. And it's not because she's a bad driver. It's because I like to be in control of the vehicle. She can drive the exact same way that I do, but if I'm in the passenger seat, I get tense. It's hard for me to sleep because I'll wake up at every little thing. Amen. Actually, pray for me that I don't wake up at every little thing. We tend to put our trust in things that we can't control. And I'm not just like that with my wife. I'm like that, you know, with my friends too. You know, whenever I'm in the passenger and they're merging in onto the interstate, I'm the one that's looking in the mirrors, looking behind, making sure we're not getting hit anybody. And I've been told, just relax, I got this. Remember one time I was with Pastor Pavel. We were driving to New York City. We had a load in the back. And let me tell you, if you've ever ridden with Pastor Pavel, it's an experience. Not necessarily a good one, but an experience nonetheless. And we're coming up on this stoplight and we have heavy machinery in the back. And so the van's already heavier and I'm starting to think, when is he gonna start braking? And it pushing on the floorboard, you know, you're pushing the brake on the floorboard and he's braking, but like I'm thinking we're gonna hit this person that's at this stoplight. And I'm telling you, my foot literally went through the floorboard. It was right on that seam and it went through the floorboard. He thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I'm just like, well, what does this tell you about my faith in your driving? But I like to be in control. We tend to want to be in control of things in our life. And we tend to trust the things that we can control. So we place our trust in things like our education or career. Nothing wrong with those things. But my career is what's gonna give me a good life. These are the things that I need. Maybe it's trusting in the things and the possessions that we have because I can get it, I can buy it, I can always do more work, I can get these things. Maybe it's trust in a relationship. And I need this relationship and I have some sense of control here, so I need this relationship. The reality is we may feel in control of our lives, but we're never really in control fully. Trusting God by giving him control, it means that not only do I not place my trust in certain things, but even in the way that I interact with those things, it changes. Meaning, I don't need to sacrifice my convictions when it seems to be convenient or safe for me, because my trust is ultimately in God. I don't need to blur the lines of my integrity to fight for certain outcomes, because my trust is not in the outcome, my trust is in God. It means I don't need to manipulate circumstances to maintain my peace, because my trust is in God. And when we can do these things, when we can know him and we have that relationship and we acknowledge him and he's always on our mind as we go throughout our day, we recognize our limitations. But not just recognizing our limitations, but recognizing that our limitations are not his limitations, and then we're able to give him control. Man, we can walk in a trust of God. And it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. I don't know how many of you have ever maybe seen someone you look up to and you admire. Maybe it's your 80-year-old grandma and you're like, man, I wish I could trust like her. When you're 80, maybe you can. Like there's a lifetime that's being built there. It doesn't happen overnight, but we can grow in our trust. We can position ourselves to grow in our trust in God. In conclusion, if you'll stand with me, this is my prayer for not only myself, but for us. This is the kind of trust that I want to live in every day of my life. It can be summed up perfectly by the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the classic story, these three men, if you're not familiar with the story, there was basically this pagan king that was telling all the nations, he set up this golden idol, and he said, you have to bow down and worship this idol. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to. They said, we're not gonna worship the golden idol because their worship belonged to God alone. And so the king, he called them in and he basically said, I'm gonna give you one more chance. Like, who are you to defy my order? Who is the God that's gonna deliver you out of my hand? I'm gonna give you one more chance. You can either bow down and worship this idol, or I'm gonna throw you into this furnace. I'm gonna throw you into the fire. They're gonna die an excruciating death. And I love their words. And this is what I want our mentality to be. In chapter 3, 16 through 18, it said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your hand, from your majesty's hand. Here it is. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. I want that to be my life. But even if not, what if our approach to life was, even if I don't get all the answers to my questions, even if all the whys of life don't make sense to me, even if I don't see the plan of God in this and where he's moving and where he's going, even if I don't see the good in this, even if it means personal sacrifice, I am not going to give in to the voices of fear. I'm not gonna give in to the voices of discouragement. I'm not gonna give in to the voices of failure, of oppression, of anxiety, of the battle in my mind, because I can place my trust in God. And when we get to that place where it doesn't matter what happens in my life, it doesn't matter what happens to me, even if my allegiance belongs to God and my trust belongs to God. Amen? What are the things that are threatening your trust in God right now? What is that area for you? And we talked about four practical areas where we can position ourselves to grow in trust. But if you're here this morning, you're just like, man, I want God to touch my faith right now. Like, we have the practical and that's good, but you're just like, I need a touch in my faith. I need God to restore this trust. There's been some things in your life that have been drowning that out, voices that have been louder than the voice of God. And you're like, I just need God to touch my life. We're gonna open up the altars. You can start coming down now. If that's you and you're saying, and you just wanna make a declaration, hey, but even if I'm gonna place my trust in my God, even if I've made life plans that have fallen apart, I'm gonna trust God. Even if my future seems uncertain, I'm gonna trust in my God. Even if I'm still dealing with trauma and pain and hurt, I'm gonna trust in God. I need God to touch me. If that's you, keep on coming down, and we're gonna spend some time in worship and in prayer. But I also wanna give one more invitation. If you're in the room and you've never, it's not about trusting God with your future and think, you've just never given your life to Christ at all. You've never placed your trust in Christ. You don't know what it means for Jesus to be your personal savior or your Lord. Man, it starts today. You can take that first step of faith where you say, hey, I wanna place my trust in Jesus. And you can do that. The Bible says that process is being born again, where I'm committing my life and I'm committing my trust to Jesus. It's being what Jesus called born again. And being born again just means this. It means three things. It's A, B, C. A means admit. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I can't place my trust in myself because I've failed too many times. I can't get out of the situations because I'm powerless to do so. I admit that I'm a sinner and I can't fix myself, but I'm gonna trust that God can do that. I'm gonna trust that this Savior can change me where I've failed to constantly save myself. So you admit, and then B is believe. Believe that God provided that grace for you when Jesus died on the cross. It's believing and saying, I'm gonna trust that as I place my faith in Jesus who died for me, my sins are forgiven. As the Bible says, I become a new creature. Old things have passed, behold, all things have become new. I believe in Jesus. I'm placing my trust in what he's done for me. I don't have to earn it, I don't need to change it. God can do it in my life. And then finally, C is confess, where we just say, God is in charge of my life. God is the Lord of my life. Even when there are things that I feel are better for my life, I always default to God. Because if I can trust him to save me, if I can trust in the work that he's done for me, I can trust him to be Lord of my life. And if you've never done that, and you wanna come to the altar, or even if you wanna sit in your seat and you wanna, I don't need to give you words, just tell God, God, I wanna place my trust in you this morning. I wanna confess you as Lord of my life. I know I can't make things right, but you can. Just tell him. Tell him in your own words. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be anything particular. But when you do that, when you make that, take that first step of trust and faith, the Bible says that you're born again. You're born again and all things become new. So whether you're here at the altar and you're just, you need to say, but even if in my life, I need a fresh touch from God for my faith, or this is the first step that you've ever taken in trusting Jesus. Let's lift our voices to God and begin to thank him, begin to pray to him as the worship team leads us into this song. Heavenly Father, I thank you that when we talk about trust, we're not placing our trust in someone who has a tainted track record or someone who is hateful or despising. God, of everything that you could be, you're loving, you're good, you're righteous, you're just. God, that's a God I wanna worship. God, I pray that you would help us. God, break down the barriers in our hearts. Silence the voices who are speaking in our lives right now. Allow us to place a trust in you that can't be shaken. God, and I pray that as we do that, God, even now as people have come to the altar asking for you to touch their faith once again, God, I pray that the peace of the Holy Spirit would be so tangible in this room, God, that we would sense your presence in such a special way. That as we begin to trust you, God, we begin to feel the peace of God on our life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.